Turn your Bibles, please, to James chapter 2. I turned myself on there, Brother Joe. James chapter number 2. One of our folks said between Sunday school and church, said there's some weird things in the Bible. We had some weird things in Sunday school. And there's some more weird things there. I mean, the Bible is a book. In most places, you will not be bored with it, you see. When you open the Bible, you got to have the attitude that you're going to believe what he says. So today, we can't just take all the parts that I would just love to preach on week after week, which would be the cross and things like that. But we got to take some things that are a little bit out of the way. So in chapter number 2, we're going to talk today about respect of persons. Respect of persons. The Bible is filled with instructions for the Christian. And when you get saved, you're a child of God. And you're a child of the King. And so God expects some things from us after we get saved. So in James chapter number 2, let's begin reading in verse number 1. He says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that holy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors." So you see, it says, talks about respect of persons in the last verse and in the first verse, verse number 1 and verse number 9. So we want to try to talk about respect of persons for a few minutes this morning. You pray with me and for me. Father, we pray to you to help us this morning to be a blessing to your people. Father, they belong to you, God, and you've told me to feed them, feed the flock of God which is among you. So help me, please. Thank you, Lord, for the good music. Ask your blessing upon the words of God here. May we be edified and become stronger in the faith. I pray to the Spirit of God would help me, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So this portion of Scripture talks about the fact that we shouldn't have respect of persons. That is, we should not treat people with respect or lack of respect based upon whether or not they look like they are financially well off or not. I don't think I could tell today any of you folks. Any of y'all, anybody got a gold ring on or anything today? Flashing it around or anything? Probably not. Probably not. But see, we're not supposed to treat people well or not so well based on whether or not they look like they're financially well off, or whether they're not financially well off. I don't know if I may have done that before. I don't know. I don't think so. But I remember when I was in school a while back that it seems like there was always some kids around in school, a few of them that seemed like they got picked on. Y'all have any kids in school? Maybe they got picked on or something. Or was you one of them? Were you one of them that got? You weren't one that got picked on. But they were not treated well for various reasons. Maybe because the way that they acted, or the way that they looked, or maybe they were smelly, or maybe their clothes were not nice, vile raiment. You know, it talks about right here. So therefore, they weren't treated well. They didn't have that look that you got to have, you know. You know, in order to be in the popular class, you know, you got to have a certain look about you, you see. And maybe they didn't have that look that people thought, or the kids thought, that they ought to have, and to be with a popular group or with the cool kids, you know. And they didn't wear a certain kind of clothes to be accepted. And I never thought about it. I never thought about it then. How bad it was to poke fun at somebody because of maybe, you know, they didn't know any better. They didn't know any better. They lived in a certain kind of house, and maybe they didn't have anybody to get them up of a morning. Maybe they didn't have any breakfast. You know, I had all of that, but maybe they didn't have that, you know. Maybe they didn't have any encouragement. Maybe they didn't have anybody to get them up or anything like that, you know. And they just put on what they had, and they came to school, and they were made fun of, and all that kind of stuff because of the way they looked, maybe the way they wore their hair. And I never thought about how bad it was to poke fun of somebody like that. Not that I poked fun at them or anything like that, but I just looked. I didn't go over and I didn't become a friend to them, you know. I didn't become a friend to those people. I just sort of stood back and looked and maybe grinned or laughed about it or snickered about it or something like that, you know. And I didn't try to help those because I was dumb too, you know. Bible says we're not supposed to have respect of persons. We ought to treat everybody as best we can. We should not put one person above another, especially based upon the fact whether or not they look like they might have money or they might not have money, you see. Maybe they do and maybe they don't. Whether or not somebody could tithe or whether they couldn't tithe, or whether they do tithe or whether they don't tithe, or maybe they hadn't learned how yet, or maybe they haven't learned how. Maybe they haven't learned how to give. I hope they do, but we shouldn't treat them a different way. Put one person up above another one. He says in verse number 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, and you have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we should not have respect of persons based upon whether or not they look like they have something, or whether or not maybe they can put a big chunk in the offering plate or not, you know. Whether or not we need it or not, doesn't matter, you see. So verse number 2 says, if they're coming to your assembly, that'd be like, you know, we're assembled together, your church. If they're coming to your assembly, a man with a gold ring. Well, I guess he's got a gold ring on, maybe it costs a lot, and maybe he's showing it off, I don't know. They're coming to your assembly, a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel. That'd be nice clothes, you know, he's wearing nice clothes. I never have noticed things like that, especially on men. I wouldn't notice that. What kind of suits? I mean, if you got a suit on, it costs, if you have a suit on or you don't have a suit on, or if you had a suit on, it costs $500 or $50. You know, if you got it at the Goodwill, I don't even know where they sell expensive clothes. Do they sell any expensive clothes around here? If they do, I don't know about it because I never have been there. I mean, I'm happy with a suit that, you know. Now you take like this thing right here. I've been wearing this for about 10 years, and I've got some others. I've been wearing them about 10 years. Fine with me. I'm not saying that to get anybody to buy me a suit. I don't want you to buy me a suit. I don't want you to give me any money to buy a suit. I'll buy my own. But I'm just saying that whether or not you, or if you have a jacket on, and you bought it at the Goodwill, and you got it for $5, hey man, that's a good deal. Send me over there. I like those kind. I've got 2 or 3 jackets in my closet that somebody gave me not too long ago, and they're my favorite jackets. I love those kind. You see, it doesn't bother me. I mean, if my shoes get a little bit ragged or a suit jacket or whatever, doesn't bother me. I just send it to the cleaners, you know, and take care of them. But I'm one of those kind of guys that when I get something, man, I wear it and I wear it until it's just about gone. You know, that's what I do. I get all the good out of it that I can possibly get. But he said here, if there comes in a man with a gold ring and he has on goodly apparel, you're not supposed to treat that fella any better than you treat somebody that comes in. Look what it says in the last part. There come in also a poor man. He's a poor man. Do we have any poor folks here this morning? I like poor folks. Fine, if God sends some people with some money or if he sends some folks that are poor, it doesn't matter. But if he sends someone in with a gold ring and goodly apparel, or if he sends someone in with vile raiment, does it say? Or maybe it's wore out. Maybe it's ragged. Maybe it may even be dirty. Maybe he doesn't know the difference. Maybe he doesn't have a washing machine, you see, like we do. Maybe he doesn't have anybody to wash him. You probably heard me say something about Walmart or something like that, you know. Sleep in her clothes, and I better not say that, but you know. But vile raiment, not so nice. Maybe a little bit dirty. We're not supposed to treat them. If they want to come in and they want to hear something from God, they want to hear something from the Bible, they want to hear something from the Word of God, we're not supposed to treat them any different than the guy that comes in with a $500 suit. That may not even be expensive anymore, $500 suit. Maybe I should say a $1,000 suit. I don't know how expensive they can get. I mean, how good can they get? You know, I don't know. It's kind of like a hamburger. I mean, how good can it get? I just soon have one from McDonald's or JJ's over here, you know, as wherever they sell expensive hamburgers. How good can it get? It's just a hamburger, you know. I don't want to pay for the surroundings, you know. I just soon eat in my car as in the restaurant. Doesn't bother me. You know, it's just food. How good can it get? You know what's going to happen to it? It's going to get all mixed up and go down here, you see. But he said, treat the guy with the goodly apparel and the gold ring just as well, or no better, or no worse, as you would treat the guy that has vile raiment on. And maybe he's been working, maybe he's a little bit smelly or something. I'm talking about somebody new that comes in, you see. That's what he says we're supposed to do. Goodly apparel, nice clothes, expensive. I like those things that are not expensive if they look nice, you see. I do believe most of us can. When you come to church, you ought to dress up. I mean, clean up. You ought to clean up. Amen? If you can, clean up. Most people can. But I'm talking about somebody who maybe doesn't know the difference. They don't know yet. I still believe in 1 Timothy 2:9. Y'all know what that says? Modest apparel on women. The Bible says that women, adorn yourself in modest apparel. That means don't show a bunch of flesh. That means you're not supposed to. Modest apparel, that which does not draw attention to the wrong places, the wrong things. Modest apparel on women, you see. We should do that. But see, some people, they don't know any difference. They don't know. They don't know what modest apparel is. It's thighs. The Bible talks about thighs. Am I supposed to show you thighs? Is there some reason on this earth that a Christian woman ought to wear something above her knees? I don't think so. Why? What is the reason for that? There's not a reason in this world that a Christian woman, I'm talking about a Christian woman, ought to wear something above their knees, something too high, too short, too low, too thin, too tight, all that. No reason in the world for that, you see. Listen, I'm gonna say this. I don't even want to say it. But if you're married, husband or wife, all this fleshy stuff, If you're married, husband or wife, man or woman, there's a place for that. But it is not in public. Amen. I didn't write the Bible. I didn't write the Bible, but there's a place for that, but it's not out in public, you see. Girls, ladies, women, modest apparel. So he says, he goes on to say, see, verse number 3. He says, if you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. Okay, so we stop there. Shall we stop on the gay clothing? The word gay, folks, you know, has been corrupted. It has been corrupted. It doesn't mean the same thing there as the news media calls gay clothing. I don't know what gay clothing is that they talk about. But they say that a gay lifestyle, that means perverted. That's what it is. It's perverted. You see. But he's talking about here. Something bright, or something colored, or something sporty. But you see, it's not the same as the way it's used today. The gay lifestyle today is what it's misnamed, or it's a misnomer. It is not true. You see. So. It's not a gay thing. It's not a good... You know what they did with that term gay? They changed it to gay from sodomite. The Bible term is sodomite, you see. But see, gay doesn't sound that bad. So we want to see a gay lifestyle. It's perverted, folks. That's all it is. And so it's not the same thing there. But he says somebody comes in with bright, you know, pretty clothing and things like that. He says in verse number 3, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. I mean, you know, somebody comes in, he's got a big ring on, he's got a nice suit, he's got $1,000 suit on, and we get one of the ushers, hey man, go get that guy right there, go get him and usher him down here, and we're going to pick out, you know, wherever the best seat happens to be. I don't know where the best seat is. Y'all know, I don't know. I never sit out here. I mean, I sit right there one time a week, and that's about it. You see, so I don't know where the best seat, but we usher him down. Where would you like to sit? We sit him down, you know. But here comes the next guy in, and he's got tattered clothes on. He'd got vile raiment on. Maybe they're kind of dirty or something like that. Maybe they're worn. And he doesn't know it. Maybe it's the first time he's been in church. Maybe he hasn't been in 20 years. And he comes in, and guess what? You stand back over in the corner. You know, you stand back in the corner. We don't have a place for you. You know, if you want to stay here, stand back there in the corner. You see. You get the picture? The Bible says we're not to show favoritism based upon whether or not it looks like they might have money. And we get the guy and we set him down in his favorite seat here, you know. And we do everything but put a name tag for him, you know, save his seat there. Don't sit in Brother So-and-so's seat there. That's his. We don't want to offend him. You know? And we pass the offering plate, you know, and we get somebody, and he has to wait here for a long time to make sure he puts in enough, you know. hold the plate here, you know, make sure the guy puts in a lot, you know. No, we're not supposed to do that. No, if they haven't learned how to give, or they don't have anything to give, you see, they're supposed to be treated with the same kind of respect that the person who does. See, supposed to do that. I think we do. But that kind of stuff is a favoritism because of money. See, verse number 3, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and we talked about that. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And we say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? In other words, we're not thinking right towards that person. And we're partial in yourselves. That is, you're favoring one over another for a certain reason, you see. And we're not supposed to do that, see. All right, so every rich person, we don't have any rich people, our poor person, our people in the middle, are to be treated the same with respect. Our Lord Jesus Christ was one who had no respect of persons. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 11, it says, there is no respect of persons with God. We are all sinners and we need a Savior. Whether one has money or fame or anything else, before God, it doesn't matter one bit. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with people having money. I hope you have some. I hope you get a bunch of it. I hope you use it wisely. I hope you save some. It's a good thing to save a little bit. If you can keep from living from paycheck to paycheck, maybe you haven't got to that place yet, but I hope that you will. I hope that you'll use whatever money that God gives you, hope that you'll use it wisely, you see. It's always a good thing to save some. You see, sometimes people, man, they can't save. If they make a bunch of money, they're going to spend it all. If they make a little bit of money, they're going to spend all that too, you see. You know, develop a little bit of self-discipline about your money, see. God gives you some money, take care of it. I mean, I know I'm probably pretty stingy. I've been needing a lot of things around the house, but I go down to town to get it, and I come back without it. And my wife says, did you get it? And I said, no, I took my checkbook, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. I got to think about it some more. I need a water tank for my cows, you know, and I've been to town 2 times to get it, but I just hadn't got it yet. I get down there and I think, I don't know, maybe I can use the old one for a little while longer, and I don't buy it. I need this or that, and I go and look at it, and the person comes over and says, can I help you? And I turn around and say, no, I'm just looking. That's all right. And I go home. My wife, see, I hardly ever go to buy groceries. I never hardly ever go to buy groceries because I see the price on it. And I said, y'all can just keep that stuff, man. I'm not going to pay it. So, see, I come home. I don't have much groceries. So my wife has to. I go down and buy some little stuff, you know. But when it comes to a big bill of groceries, you know, you go down there and you got a little dab in the, you got a little dab in the basket. Well, it's $200. $200? Man, that's a bunch of money. You know how much our first bill of groceries was? My wife and I, we got married in 1965. 1965, we had a whole basket full of groceries, and we went up to the counter. We had a mop and everything in there. $8 is $8. Well, you can't even get a little sack now with for $8. So my wife has to go buy the big bill of groceries because I just won't do it. Y'all can just keep that stuff. I'm not going to pay that for it. I mean, you know, you get a little bitty sack of something, you know, like a walnuts or something. That's $7-$8. Phew, man. I mean, brother, I have to think about those things. See, I need something, and I may think about it another 2-3 weeks before I buy that water tank. I will probably eventually get one, or I'll fix an old one around, you know, and before I pay for that. You see, Jesus Christ did not have respect of persons. The Bible says he had no. There's no respect of persons with God. Every sinner needs a Savior, whether or not he has money or fame. No matter what he has. Have you ever heard the saying, the ground is level at the foot of the cross? I started out talking, I hope you get money. And I hope you're wise with your money. Because you need some to function in this world. I'll be glad one of these days when we don't need any. I'll be glad when there's no telephone poles out there. I'll be glad when there's no cell phones. I'll be glad when there's no television. I'll be glad when there's no little screen to look at. I'll be glad when we don't have combustible engines. No cars. Won't need them. We'll not need a bank account. We won't need any of that stuff, brother. One day, whenever Jesus comes, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And he'll call us up. All that stuff will be over. But until then, you need a little bit of money. You're going to need some money to function on. So be wise with your money. Develop a little bit of self-discipline. You don't have to be as stingy as I am, but develop some self-discipline, you see. It doesn't matter Doesn't matter. Jesus Christ died for every single person. He had no respect to person. It doesn't matter who comes to him for salvation. They'll get it. They'll get it. Let me give you one illustration. Y'all know the story. We'll not turn there, but in John chapter number 8, verses 1 to 11, Jesus was in the temple teaching, and they brought this woman. They brought a woman, and they dragging her along, and they said, here's a woman, she's taken in adultery. In the very act of adultery, they threw her down there. They threw her down there, and they looked at Jesus and said, what are you going to do about this? What should we do? What does the law say? What are you going to do about this? They're trying to get Jesus to commit himself. They're trying to get him to say something. You know what he said? He didn't say nothing. He didn't say nothing. They're a bunch of Pharisees. They drew this woman in here. Yeah, she's a bad woman. They brought her in here. Threw her down. You know what Jesus did? He didn't say nothing. He stooped down. He wrote in the ground. He wrote something. It doesn't say what he wrote. He stood up and they kept on after him. He stooped down again. He wrote in the ground. They said, does not the law say that this woman ought to be stoned? That's right. So Jesus said, brother, there's nobody on earth that can speak so original as Jesus Christ. He said, if there's any among you, if she's worthy of stoning, he said, if there's any among you that is without sin, then you take up the first stone and you start it. You start the stoning. If there's any in here that is without sin. You know what they all started to do? From the oldest to the youngest, they all started backing off. And they all went off. She's left there alone with Jesus. Jesus said, where are those thine accusers? Didn't anybody stay here to accuse you? She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Don't do it anymore. But you know what he did? He forgave her. He forgives what we might call good people, and he forgives the worst people. You see, there is no respect of persons with Jesus. He touched a leper in Mark chapter number 1, verse 40 and 41. Who would touch a leper? Who wants to touch a leper? They're outcast. But Jesus touched him. He came running, falling down at the feet of Jesus, and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Leprosy. They had to go around, you know, and hide their mouth. Outcast outside the city walls. He said, I will, be thou clean. He touched him and he was cleansed. You see, no respect of persons with Jesus. Didn't matter if they were well off or if they were poor. In John chapter number 3, there's Nicodemus. Well, he's probably a pretty well off guy. He's one of the religious leaders. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You and your religion are not going to get in, he said, unless you're born again. Doesn't matter if you got money, doesn't matter if you got prestige, doesn't matter what you got, if you're not born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. That's what he told to a well-to-do religious leader. He treated the rich man the same as the poor man, you see. In Luke chapter number 10, is the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan left Jerusalem going down to Jericho and he got beat up. They threw him in the ditch. Luke chapter 10. The story of the Good Samaritan. Just threw him in the ditch. He's beat up. He's battered and bloody. And he's half dead. He's holding his hand up down in the bar ditch. Y'all know what a bar ditch is, don't you? Down in the bar ditch. Help! Help! Here comes a religious leader by. He's a priest. He comes by and he hears the sound and he looks over there and he sees a bloody arm coming up, but the Bible says he passed by on the other side. He didn't have time. In a little while, here comes somebody else. This is a Pharisee. He's a religious leader too. He hears the sound too. Help! Help! Sees a bloody hand coming up. The Bible says he thought about it for a minute, but then he passed by on the other side. He didn't have time. He didn't want to get his hands dirty. But then here comes a Samaritan. Nobody liked Samaritans. The Jews didn't like Samaritans anyway. And the Bible says that this man, this Samaritan, he came down and went where he was. He came down and went where he was. Got down in the ditch with him, poured oil and wine on his bruises, fixed him all up, took him to the inn, gave the innkeeper some money, said, when I come back, if he owes you anything, I'll repay him. You take care of him. Now, who do you think that good Samaritan represents? That Samaritan is Jesus Christ. He is your good Samaritan, you see. Amen? Jesus Christ has no respect of persons. That tells us we ought not to have respect of persons. There's a few things that we ought to think about that every person needs without respect of persons. Number one, everybody needs the gospel. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. No matter rich or poor, they all need to hear it. They all need to hear it, you see. That's why the Lord left us here, just to tell the story. Somebody needs to tell the millions in other lands, missionaries. Did you know, folks, listen. Did you know that God left us here to tell people that he knows are not going to listen? Do you know that? He knows a bunch of them are not going to listen, but he wants them to be told anyway, you see. They're not going to listen. They're not going to want to hear it, but he said, I want you to tell them anyway. I want you to give them the gospel, you see. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, I believe it's verse number 36, he said this, talking about rich and poor. What shall it profit a man? You listen carefully now. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What good would it do him if he was rich and he gained the whole world? Well, if he gained the whole world, he couldn't keep it all. Couldn't keep it. What good would it do him? That tells you that your soul is of infinite value because it will live forever. That's why. That's why, you see. Your soul is of infinite value, and Jesus Christ died for your soul. He died for you. Number two, every person needs to hear the Word of God so they'll know what God wants them to do. I'm just about finished here, but look in your Bible in James chapter 1 and verse 22. 23 and 24. James chapter 1 and verse 22, 23 and 24. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. See, people need to hear that. Deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. See, he looked in a mirror and he saw there was a problem, and I told you this last week, but he didn't do anything about it. That's like us. We hear the Bible preached. We hear the Bible preached, or we read it. We read the Bible, or we hear it preached, and we get right up. We know, oh, somebody ought to do that. Yeah, sounds good. I think somebody ought to do that. But I'm not going to do it. Why, I'm busy. I don't have time to do that. Don't you know how busy I am? Somebody ought to do that. Somebody ought to fix the roof. Somebody ought to do this in the church. Somebody ought to do that. But sounds really good. I think somebody ought. Don't you all think that? Yeah, I think somebody ought to do that. But are you going to do it? Huh? No, I'm not going to do it. We're going to get up and walk right out the door. And we ain't going to do it because we're busy. Like the preacher owns the building here. The preacher owns the building. Y'all know that, don't you? I own this building. Yeah, it's mine. Not really, folks. No, we're just blessed to have it. I'm just using that as an example. A lot of things. Somebody ought to knock on them doors out there. That sounds really good, preacher. I hope somebody does that. But it ain't going to be me. Amen. No, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go right out. I'm going to the restaurant this evening. I'm going to go eat. See? You see how we are? We hear about something and it sounds good. But we just get right up and go. That's what he's talking about there. See? Amen. Amen. All right. Every person needs to hear the word of God. Every person needs some fellowship, friendship, and Christian fellowship without respect of persons. We all need some exhortation, some encouragement from the word of God. And I believe this summer, myself, and I haven't done much more than anybody else in this area, but we've knocked on hundreds of doors. Every one of them, we invited them to come to church. Didn't matter who it was, didn't matter who, what they looked like, we invited them to come to church. Amen. We had a few of them come. But you know, God didn't say we had to win everybody. He just said we told hundreds of people. And so we're glad for the few that come. And God sent a bunch more in the place of some of these others, you see. So no respect of persons. No respect of persons. See, there's no respect of persons with God. He'll save anybody. He'll save anybody that they'll come to Him and accept His Son as their Savior. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please.